Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, Bob Mould is out with a new record. It's called Patch the Sky. Mould is coming to the Metro on May 6th for an already sold-out show. Bob Mould is no stranger to Chicago. He's played here regularly throughout his career, and some of his bandmates actually live in the area. Mould has been called the contrarian of rock and roll. His days in Husker Du, the band Sugar, and his solo projects have given us so much memorable music. He's also an author. His memoir, See a Little Light, The Trail of Rage and Melody, was published in 2011. And he just keeps working, producing, touring. Just in his solo work alone, this is his 13th studio album. He's a national treasure. Bob Mould joins me now on The Download. Bob, thanks for taking some time out. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Justin. How are you this evening?
Good. How often do you get through Chicago?
Fairly regularly. The last time I was through for a long stretch was making this record Patch the Sky that we're out promoting right now. The album was actually recorded at Electrical Audio, which is in Chicago.
And Steve Albini,
right? It's nice. Yeah, you made mention of a bandmate, bandmates of mine. Jason Narduzzi, my bass player, lives in Evanston. So the Electrical is a great studio to work at, and it's an easy commute for Jason.
Right, that's important. Bob, yeah. I mean, for you, you recorded so much in your career. What are you looking for in a studio when you're deciding to put a record together? What's the process like, and what do you want out of a recording studio?
Well, it's a number of things. I mean, over the years, I've either built recording studios in Minneapolis to do work in. Sometimes I go to other people's home studios in very rural settings, and if that's the kind of vibe I'm looking for. With Electrical Audio, it's a great there's two studios inside the building, and they're almost as if they're fully living, functioning, active recording museums in a way. The equipment is great. The vibe is great. At Electrical, the staff is so good to us. And, we just settle in and, it's like working in the most amazing bunker, which is what you want in a recording studio. As far as, mixing records, I actually bring the recorded tracks back to San Francisco, where I've been living for 6 years. And I've got a studio here in the Mission that I use for mixing the records. But, it's a lot of it's about vibe, and a lot of it's about equipment and location. And it's always fun to try out new studios.
Right.
In the case of Electrical, we found one that's great for us. So
continuing on the idea of the process for writing music, I mean, for your solo projects, is it a collaborative process with your bandmates, or are you putting all the stuff together, bringing in the what you want to do, the arrangements, all that kind of stuff beforehand, or are you getting together and writing the music together?
I usually bring in the music fully written, with the idea that John and Jason will definitely improve any cursory ideas I have for rhythms or bass guitar melodies. This is the third record that the three of us have recorded as a band, so to speak, three of us in a room working with the same engineer. And all three records have had different creative processes behind them. Silver Age, which was an album I wrote most of it in December of 2011, and that record came out the following summer and did real well. Beauty and Ruin was an album that we recorded 2 years ago. It recorded and released 2 years ago. And, as opposed to writing it all in 1 month, it was written, over downtime periods across 18 months of nonstop touring. So it was more of a patchwork kind of record, and oddly enough, the record called Patch the Sky, the new record, was written about a 6 month period of me writing at home, sort of in isolation, sort of spending a lot of time just trying to come up with ideas and trying to come up with stories that that would fit together, and for this new record, wrote around 50 songs worth of music and narrowed that down to the 12 songs that we have on the album, and that's. Once I've got the musical content narrowed down, then I really focus in hard on the storytelling and how to put things in order. That's, it's the old-fashioned way of making an album, to finish.
Let's talk about Patch the Sky. You say that the songs on the record on Patch the Sky are your salvation. What do you mean by that?
Without getting too deep into it, the last couple of years had a lot of personal loss, losing parents, losing other friends. Just the stuff that happens as we get older, and it's not unique to me, but it's not subject matter that often makes its way into popular music, because that's generally a younger person's milieu, I suppose. And, you know, so that's, you know, I think that was the sort of the taking inventory, taking a moment, taking 6 months to reflect on, you know, recent events in my personal life, and, you know, trying to make sense of that and how to move forward. And, you know, music for me, you know, as a small child, it was a salvation. You know, it was the one thing that I had in my life that could drown out the chaos of a real crazy, sort of noisy childhood. And, you know, that's where it started for me. And, you know, in times of reflection, it really is the thing that keeps me going from day to day without making it sound too overwhelming. But some days it is pretty, right. Some days it is pretty overwhelming. I mean, that's what makes the work so good and enjoyable. And you know, I keep, you know, year after year, I keep at it, and music is a really powerful thing in a lot of people's lives.
For you, I mean, you've created so much music over your career. Can you go to a Husker Du record or to some of the early solo work and be able to hear a song and go, oh, I remember exactly where I was at that place, or I know exactly what I was trying to see, you know, like where I was in my life? I mean, is this almost like chapters of your book?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's definitely, you know, the records are like mile markers for me. It's you know, I keep track of my life through the release dates of my albums. And as far as the emotional pull, you know, when I go back, yeah, I mean, I can remember the sentiment or the feelings and where I was when I came up with each of these records. You know, specific songs, the ones that I keep bringing forward in the current songbook, they change meaning over time. And, you know, some of them stay applicable mm-hmm. throughout my life. Some of them resonate deeper than others at moments. And, you know, they're beautiful like that. It's why I've always been loath to describe the meanings of songs too much, because I think not only for the writer or the performer, but also for the listener, it's, you know, the interpretations should be a little bit fluid. I don't know how specific they really need to be.
Yeah.
Is, you know, they're sort of universal ideas that, you know, they shape shift a little bit over time. That's the beauty of music, I suppose.
Well, I mean, you're so articulate when it comes to, you know, what music means. You talk about this concept on sort of explaining the record about the concept of the chemical chorus. what music does to bring us in.
Yeah, it's the craft of songwriting, whether it's the longtime masters like Leonard Cohen, Elvis Costello, Dylan, people like that, or, you know, Jimmy Webb, who was such a great wordsmith. It's the art of storytelling. You have to establish a time and a place. You know, you sort of give people that, is it a cold, foggy night somewhere, somehow, something, you know, however you set the story up, you know, and musically using verses to lay out the story, and, you know, choruses are ultimately that great payoff, where it's that hallelujah moment where you get the easy words that everybody can sing together at once. And it's so strange, you know, it's almost like a religious experience, or like, you know, when you go to church and you sing everybody sings the choruses, and somebody up there, you know, is telling the stories, and the set list never really change, I guess.
That's good. I'm going to think about that.
You know what I'm saying?
There's not a lot of variety when it comes to the set list at church. You're right.
No. Pretty much we all know how it's
All right, let me ask you, you know, one of the things, you know, in the last couple of years before you came back, when you came to Merge Records, you were experimenting with different types of music. You were doing some electronica, your DJ work, expanding some. But, you know, you came back when we talked about the last three records with this group. You came back to the simple premise of guitar, drums, vocals. What brought you back to that sound?
I think, you know, through a period like the late 90s, for instance, the end of 1998, I walked away from guitar music and spent a number of years working, you know, and learning about electronic music and house music. And, you know, it just, you know, at that time, I felt like guitar rock had gotten a little overworked. You know, there was just so much of it, and it had gotten a little substandard. The production of electronic music was much more interesting to me. I learned a lot about sound and how to sculpt, you know, the small details into sound. You know, and then, you know, at the beginning, you know, around, I guess, 2011, when the autobiography came out and I was doing the work with Foo Fighters, and there was a large tribute show to my songbook at Disney Hall in Los Angeles in November of 2011. And to see a lot of, you know, it was a sort of a gathering of my peers and people paying, you know, paying tribute to the work. And I think that was the, you know, that was the moment that led to that, you know, that quick burst of writing the Silver Age album, where it was really back to basics. And I think seeing a lot of other people, whether it's Ryan Adams or Dave Grohl or the Hold Steady, you know, hearing them sing my work back at me, I was like, oh, it's that simple. You know, and it's, you know, just trying, I guess, as I get older, you know, I become more aware of what I do and what it means. It actually gets easier, you know, just staying a little bit closer to the source of all of it right now. That seems to be the thing that fits me well right now. And it also, with all the touring that we've been doing, you know, you talk about the show coming up at Metro.
Right.
When I go out and I see the simplicity of the three piece and what we do and how we, you know, how we approach the songbook, and I see how people are responding to it, it's like, it's really easy for me to do that. It's easy for Jason and John to do,
right,
to do the what we do, and people seem to be really enjoying it. It's actually that simple, you know. And I know that, you know, some people would criticize that as, oh, you're just doing what people want. It's like, well, you know, I've spent decades being that contrarian,
right.
And you know, for once, we're all just sort of vibing on this really easy thing that's really uncluttered and simple, and it's, you know, for those 90 minutes, people are having a great time. And you know, even with the heaviness of the lyrics on the new record and stuff, I mean, people are really responding, and people are just, you know, grateful to have this thing that we can all get in a room and enjoy. So it's really that simple sometimes.
Well, I was reading the Pitchfork review where they said you're at your best when you articulate anger at a high volume. Do you agree with that assessment? I mean, when you think about your career and everything that you've done over the time, I mean, does that sum up Bob Mould?
I think that's a simplistic look at a really complicated road. I mean, I think maybe that's how the road looks from way above on a GPS or on a map of the world.
Right.
But I, you know, being the one that walks the road every day, it's a little more than that. But it's a nice thought. I know the fellow who wrote that, and I know where he's coming from. So I'll take it as a compliment.
Bob Mould is coming to Metro on May 6th. It's a sold-out show, but you know, you're touring and people get a chance to check out the new record, Patch the Sky. Bob Mould, I can't thank you enough for taking some time out tonight to talk to us here on The Download.
Thanks, Justin. And just, you know, Chicago's always been great. It's you know, one of my handful of amazing musical homes, and, you know, really looking forward to coming back and playing some shows for folks.